Identity crisis, a very real issue with most people. We all are born with insecurity. Factors, though, in our homes and upbringing can very much increase that, and the handling of hurts the wrong way that can lead to many other issues, as we've talked about here in these evening services. And one of the big issues that comes out of hurts not being handled the right way, and therefore maybe a life filled with shame or a life filled with other kinds of coping mechanisms, addictions that make life even worse, the inability to have relationships, all of these things. Out of all of that comes the matter of the inability to forgive because of all the present consequences from what happened to a person. Now, a very closely tied issue here is that of bitterness. Bitterness is blaming someone else for the lack of fulfillment, the unhappiness, the problems in a person's life, that perceive what the person did or said in the past or ongoing is the reason that life is not what it ought to be, and so therefore that's bitterness. It can become just deep set in the soul. The root of bitterness will destroy, and we've talked about that quite a bit. So all of this goes together, but this inability to forgive is because there is this just constant reality. I am suffering because. And if that person hadn't done that, then I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in. And how can I forgive someone that has changed my life, hurt my life, has ongoing consequences in my life? And that logic just seems to go round and around in a person's life. But unforgiveness is very clearly seen as a sin. The Lord Jesus himself dealt with it, and it's one that grips the human race because we are self-focused, because we don't appreciate pain, and we are very easily offended, where our pride is hurt, and unforgiveness can be a terrible evil. Robertson McQuilkin, who has written some tremendous material on how to have victory in Christ, wrote, "The sin of unforgiveness is a cancer that destroys relationships, eats away at one's own psyche, and worst of all, shuts off one from the grace of God." Just like bitterness does, grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord Jesus made it very clear right in his model prayer, the outline of how we should pray. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," and what's next? "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Right there in the core relationship with God Almighty. A four-year-old was praying one night. He was listening at church and had heard the Lord's Prayer. And so he prayed, "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." And quite a good children's perspective on trespasses. But the Lord made it very clear in Matthew 18, after talking about the matter of getting things settled, going to a person, that Matthew 18 principle there, then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Peter really thought he was being magnanimous, you know, to forgive seven times. And the Lord turns around and says unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but I say 70 times seven." Of course, he wasn't giving the number 490. He's just giving, "You always forgive." So we see here at the very core of the Lord's teaching of our relationship with the Father and how we should respond to the offenses that come in our life, that we must forgive. But friends, if we don't settle the inner hurts, we won't forgive. I mean, if you have hurts and you're living with those and you're not getting freedom from them, all the things we've talked about, your proper sense of identity, who you are in Christ, what he's done for you. Remember, we should forgive based on the fact that we've been forgiven. If we do not understand that, then we can say, I forgive you, but there still is that natural resentment because we're hurting. Things aren't going well. I don't feel complete. This is something that still is dominating, and especially, folks, when there is a real sense of shame or there are addictions that are coping mechanisms and relationships that are being hurt, it's really hard to forgive. So that's why everything else we've talked about is key to this matter of forgiveness. Now, to forgive means, the word simply means to send away, has the idea to send forth, to yield up, let go, give up a debt. Forgive is the idea to keep it no longer. Let it go and give it to God. Don't hold on to how you feel as a debt that someone owes you. You're free from it. And that can only be by the grace of God. Clara Barton never harbored resentments. One time a friend recalled to her a cruel thing that had happened to her some years previously, but Clara seemed not to remember it. Don't you remember the wrong that was done to you? Asked the friend. No, answered Clara. I distinctly remember forgetting that. Well, that's one part of it, and it is really true that we need to make the decision by the grace of God to let it go. C.S. Lewis says, you know, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. You know, we can all talk about how wonderful forgiveness is, but then when we've been hurt and we harbor that hurt, that's without the grace of God, you're not going to forgive because you've got to deal with the hurt properly. Well, I want to look at a passage that gives us some of the aspects of how to deal with the hurt the right way, and that's Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me. Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to quickly go through this passage here this evening. In commenting on this particular paragraph, C.H. Spurgeon said, "The text appears to give us a choice between two things and bids us choose the better one. You must either be overcome by evil, or you must yourself overcome evil. One of the two. You cannot let evil alone, and evil will not let you alone. You must fight, and in the battle, you must either conquer or be conquered." And so when our pride gets wounded, when we get hurt, when our life has been affected, we haven't dealt with those hurts, we've got these other issues, in our life, we have to make the decision that we are going to do something about it because that evil will overcome us if we do not allow God to overcome. So I want to deal with the attitude that will free you from the problem of unforgiveness. So let me just read the verses, verse 17 to the end of the chapter of chapter 12. And remember, this is the great chapter that applies the tremendous truths of salvation and sanctification found in Romans chapters 1 through 11. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of God." You see, when you have an unforgiving spirit, you want something bad to happen to someone else. You may not be the one that is going to do the bad thing, but you're really happy if it happens. In other words, there's a debt to you that needs to be paid. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You see, unforgiveness comes because evil has happened to us, and we allow the normal self-centered reactions of emotions to get a hold of us. We have another passage that deals with the danger of this kind of inner reaction that we often quote from Ephesians chapter 4, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place, ground to the devil." So what happens is we don't get the inner issue settled, we do not release the person who hurt us because we're not handling it properly. And here are some things that we find to help us not be overcome of this evil, to allow Satan to have ground in our life. Our response needs to be spirit-filled. We need to avoid having this desire to pay back evil. Back up in verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good." Very similar to this verse here. 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing." Now see, what we find in these passages here, and what we're going to see here, is the way you can forgive, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Griffith Thomas says, "It is well known that pride is easily wounded and as easily is ready to take vengeance, and there is nothing more Christ-like than the grace of forbearance, and nothing more calculated to recommend the gospel to others." Sir Matthew Hale said, "Though it is manly to punish, it is like God to forgive." And so one of the first things you have to do is, all right, I have been hurt. This is a fact. You were hurt. Person did you wrong. Maybe way in the past, maybe recently, maybe ongoing in relationship. Sometimes it's not having the role functioning in a marriage relationship. Maybe parents are frustrated with children hurting them, or vice versa. And these things may be facts. But here we may see very clear, we first of all have to get the conviction, no payback. In other words, you've got to settle that before you can just say, "I release you." In other words, you release the debt. You're not going to worry about something bad happening to them. In fact, you need to instead embrace a desire to have a beautiful testimony. That's what it says. Honest is the idea of good, beautiful, in the sight of men. It has the idea, the same word. The Lord said, I am the good shepherd. I am the beautiful shepherd. That which really reminds people of Christ. And so when we're not, you know, you can look at a face and see a hardness. When a person hasn't released that debt, when that person needs to get it, that person does not have a soft face. And the world is filled with that. You hear that on the job all the time. But a believer is not going to recompense evil for evil. Instead, wants to have a testimony that is just a beautiful testimony of what God can do. John Selwyn, who was a key leader in the South Pacific, was known in his university days for his boxing skill. I mean, he was a powerful man. And one time he had to deal with a new convert, and the man, removed only by savagery from a period of time, struck the pastor or the missionary with a violent blow on his face with a clenched fist. Well, the normal reaction of a man trained in fighting would have been to deck him. And instead, he folded his arms in back, asking God to help, and looked into his face with the love of Christ. It's too much for the assailant. It caused him to be shamed, and that's what this passage says, and he fled into the jungle. Years later, the missionary came home seriously ill. One day, the man who had struck him came to the missionary that had followed him to confess Christ, and then he got baptized. Convinced of the genuineness of his conversion, he asked him what he would like to be called now as a Christian. He said, call me John Selwyn, for it was he who taught me what Jesus Christ was like. And folks, there's no better opportunity to show forth the reality of Jesus Christ than when you're wronged and you don't fight back. You don't want to fight back. You don't want bad things to happen. Think of Jesus, Isaiah 53, all that he had, but he answered him not back. Can you imagine what it was like? It probably almost made them more furious for a while when they were beating him and doing what they were doing to him, and in his face was love rather than anger. See, that's being truly Christ-like, and that's the beginning of dealing with the hurt. In other words, when you take away the fact this needs to be made even, this needs to be taken care of, and instead you decide not to do that and you want to have a good testimony, that really begins to give the freedom that is needed. And then, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I love that, as much as is in you. Now, you need the Spirit of God. It's not easy with everybody, okay? And yet, as believers, we need to have a peaceable heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Lord said in the Beatitudes, James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and so forth. Hebrews 12, 14, that wonderful passage, a straight passage on bitterness a little bit later, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so you first of all don't want to render evil for evil, but want to have the right kind of testimony, and your purpose is to live peaceably. In other words, you may have been brought up as a fighter. You may have had lots of contention in the home, but as a believer, as you're dealing with these hurts and realizing that you're not completely free of them, if you determine you're not going to render evil for evil, and that your purpose is to have a unified existence with anyone that God has put in your life, that goes a long way to getting you to really be able to release and have genuine forgiveness. And then, trusting God in all of this. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't you get even. Don't give place, in other words, rather give place unto wrath. In other words, do not allow that to control, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's what was said in the law, Deuteronomy 32, 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. Now, this has got to be said properly here. All right, I'll let God get even with them. Now, God get even with them. You missed the point. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. God can handle it. Now, folks, let me just say this. If someone has hurt you, to have the right kind of heart is to say, Lord, you'd handle that however you want to, but I'm going to pray that you protect and bless that person. Folks that have done injury, that have been involved in my life, I have made it a point to ask God to bless them. I don't want to call God's wrath down on them. I refuse to do that. Now, it's hard sometimes when people have hurt the work of Jesus Christ, but that's up to God to handle that. And remember, folks, and I'm going to say this later, they're as precious to God as you are. And the way to get your soul free is to learn to pray for those that despitefully use you. And you know, God will put a heart of love in your heart. You can't pray for someone regularly without getting the heart of Christ. And so when we say, trust the Lord, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, it's not that you're counting on him to repay. You're counting on him to do what's best. Now, I've seen people suffer. I remember in Dad's ministry, people that didn't, some things that That was just amazing how carnality can be. Now, of course, as a PK, I'm thinking, Lord, go get them, you know. It wasn't real spiritual. But that wasn't my dad's attitude at all. But I have seen hard things happen. You know, just bitterness itself in the lives of other people, they suffer terribly. Folks, you don't want people to suffer. You want them to be delivered. But just carnality and whatever caused people to do wrong, that in itself will bring them down. So trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. Let him take care of it. It's not up to you to take care of it. And so going back here, we've got to get it decided in our hearts that we're not going to recompense evil and that we want to have a goal of unity with everyone. That's our goal. And that we're going to trust the Lord. He can take care of it however he wants to. We're going to pray that God will bless. And then we are to take that prayer for blessing and let God actually cause us to be a blessing. Now this is the test, folks. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, let him starve. No, that's not what it says. Okay. He deserves it anyway. Now, folks, that's how you initially think. All right? And you have to stop and say, no. If somebody's done me wrong and they haven't gotten it right, has a need, I have a biblical mandate to meet that need. See, what does this do? You know, we talk about releasing something, forgiving. Well, this is how it works. It's not just words. It's being willing if it ever happened. And that's where prayer comes in. Lord, bless them. Help them. Give them what they need. Lord, the goodness of God, if they need to repent, you take care of that. But Lord, I don't want things bad to happen to them. And so if he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And this was an Egyptian custom that might be referred to here, where a person that wanted to demonstrate public contrition would carry on his head a pan of burning coals to represent the burning pain of their shame and guilt. And the point is, the most important aspect in a person's life is to be right with God, right? So if we will have a good testimony and we respond and we're praying, then God can bring a person to a place where they get freed. You know, that's the ultimate, right? I mean, it's not to get even. It's that if there's something wrong in a person's life, we want to see them freed. And so as we are the right kind of testimony and do what is right, God will then work it to where there can be a tremendous opportunity for God to work in their lives. There was a man whose son was murdered. I can't think of anything probably more devastating than that. And for some period of time, he wanted, I mean, when they went through the whole court battle, he wanted the man to get the worst. He didn't fully get the worst, and that really bothered him. Well, he was a Christian. He was a good Christian. He realized that he was violating everything, and he certainly had to get forgiveness. And so he sought the Lord, and finally, and I can't imagine, it takes totally the grace of God, but he finally wrote a letter that was truly freedom, where he wrote and told the man that God had given him a love for him and that he totally forgave him. This man had never been shown kindness. He had lived a very rough life. I'm talking about the prisoner, the murderer. And he read that letter, began to weep, and got on his face. And I believe in the letter was salvation. Gospel given, and he got on his face and got saved. Well, as that man began to grow, guess who was his discipler and came to prison? It was the grieving father of this man, the son that this man had murdered. And he pled for his early release, and it was granted several years later. And this man became one of the key men in the church there. Now, that's an unusual story, but it gives you pretty graphically, there's a lot of details I didn't cover, but it's a beautiful story of someone that you would for sure consider an enemy robbing you of someone that you loved, and then having the heart of Christ to bring them through. And that's an extreme, extreme example. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So let me give some concluding thoughts about forgiveness. I've taken this from Augsburger's book on about forgiveness. We need to see the other, the person that you are hurt with and you're having difficulty forgiving, as having worth again, regardless of the wrongdoing. We dehumanize somebody that's hurt us. Now remember again, we've got to deal first with our own hurts and all that we've talked about, the grace of God to realize who we are and what we are in Christ and get victory there. If we do, then we can think right. But as we've gone down these points from chapter 12 here, it all comes to having the right attitude toward the other person. Are they important to God? Yes. You've got to see them as someone that Jesus Christ died for. So you got to see as equally precious in spite of the pain that has been felt. You've got to cancel demands of the past. Recognize that changing the unchangeable is impossible. You've got to release that. And then you've got to work through the anger and pain, especially in a relationship, both sides, if they're wanting to forgive one another, and they've got to begin to start trusting and risking a genuine relationship. This is especially true in a marriage. And then there needs to be the dropping of demands for an ironclad guarantee of future behavior. In other words, when you forgive somebody and you make it clear to them and you've released it and you have the right attitude and you're doing good and you pray for them, your forgiveness is not conditional based on the fact they behave. Okay? In other words, what you have forgiven them for, it's forgiven, and you want to have that kind of heart, and you're not basing it, all right, I'm going to forgive you, but now I want you to not do that again to me. And that's what happens oftentimes when there are hurts within a relationship. And then you need to ask God for love. And God can do that. So, forgiveness. Much more can be said here, but let me remind you, it gets down to the hurts that are not settled in our hearts. Those have to be settled. Bitterness has to be dealt with. But even with that, there is the habit of still protecting oneself. And so we have to take these action steps where we don't want them hurt. We want to have the right kind of testimony. We want to have peace. We're going to let God take care of it. We're going to want to bless them and do that which God tells us to do to bless them so that God can give them freedom in their own heart and they can enjoy the fullness of the blessing and will of God in their life. All right, gave you a lot fast here tonight. But folks, that's contrary to every natural reaction that we have. Now let me just ask you this in way of conclusion. Is there anybody you know, if their name is brought up, it creates pain? Now sometimes it's because of memory, but oftentimes it's because of unforgiveness and bitterness. And you know, let me flip this around. Might it be possible that you're not getting over some of the hurts because you haven't been willing to forgive? It's a two-way street there. And so you ought to be able, even if the memory is tough when you think about something that's still unresolved, you ought to immediately have the love of God swell up in your heart. And you ought to be free. Or else you're a victim. And those hurts are still dominating at times your thinking. My friends, your Heavenly Father can take care of those folks. And He can take care of you. And you don't have to have anything happen to them for you to be free. You need God to free you. you need to release them and then greatly desire God's great blessing on them. Aren't you thankful that Jesus did that for us? If we hurt Jesus, oh my, I don't know if we could say hurt in the same way, because, but still, we nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And forgiveness will stifle the blessing of God more than anything else in a person's life. So we need to get victory on these identity truths so that we can then have the power and freedom to forgive and mean it and take the steps to do good and to release and to pray for blessing and to see victories. In fact, I'm convinced we would have a revival move of God in the lives of many if forgiveness could be given and then both the offended and the offender could have the grace of God poured out upon their lives. Let's bow for prayer.